Anyone have something you can write on it? It'll help a lot if you can write out. I have some paper here and a pad we could hand out. Gerald, does anyone have some paper you could spread around a little bit? Here, we can pass out some of these sheets right here. Don't need much, but it'll be a... You could even write on your bulletin if you want, if you have a pen. But it'll help you visualize what we're talking about today. We want to be able to visualize what we're talking about here today. First, let's visualize two people. Let's talk about people here. Let's talk about a lady that Jesus met at the well. Remember that story? She was in trouble, wasn't she? She was not very popular in her town. She had probably run off with broken up a few homes, and she was looking for a love in God, and she was looking in the wrong place, wasn't she? Then she came out to get water at what time of the day? Yeah, do you want to be out in the sun lugging water around? No. Usually you get your water in the morning or in the evening when it's cool. But she was out in the middle of the day, so she wouldn't get... Nobody would throw anything at her. There wouldn't be anybody out there. And she ran into Jesus, and he asked her for a drink of water. And we know Jesus asked a lot of questions. Jesus asked, about 157 questions in the New Testament. Jesus got people to thinking by asking questions. So Jesus asked her for water, and she couldn't figure that out. Why would a Jew ask a Samaritan for water? Couldn't figure that out. And he said, if you knew who you were talking to, you'd ask for the water of life. You'd never be thirsty again. Well, she wound up getting this water of life, didn't she? And what did she do? She turned right around, went back into town, and introduced everybody to someone who told her everything she'd ever done, and the town poured out and met Jesus. Let's talk about another guy. His name was Saul, and he was holding some robes one day for the people who were stoning Stephen. And Saul was on a different track than this woman. This woman had a terrible reputation, and Saul had an impeccable reputation. He had done everything you were supposed to do to be an impressive guy. He did everything you were supposed to do to stay out of trouble. He had done all that was required of him. And yet he was in deep trouble, wasn't he? And so he met Jesus one day too. Only he met him in the middle of a dirt road, and he was lying in the road looking up, and he heard a voice say, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Now, how do you think he felt when he heard that? Wow. I thought I was doing the right thing. Got turned around, and he headed in the right direction. There's hope for all of us, isn't there? Okay, what I wanted to talk about was the relationship between a relationship with God and our performance. This is something we all Christians have had trouble with. Paul was down the performance track, wasn't he? He was doing everything you're supposed to do, and then some. And the woman had no idea about performance. She just met Jesus. She was down the relationship track, but it affected her performance. Have you ever heard of those games where somebody in the front tells you how to draw something, and they just tell you, they just speak to you, and you have to try to make it happen? That's what we're going to do now. I want you to make a box that's about 3 inches on the side. A box that's about 3 inches on the side. That's three of your little thumb, the difference between the top and the bottom of your thumb. You can lay those out here and make your little box there. And we're going to turn that box into 4 smaller boxes. So you want to go at the top to the bottom, and from the left to the right, you want 4 boxes. 2 on the bottom and 2 on the top. Okay? All right? And in the bottom left corner of your box, outside of your box, I want you to write low. Low, like in how low can you go? Okay? On the top left, outside the box, I want you to write high. Like in H-I-G-H, not like in hi, how you doing? And on the bottom right, outside the box, I want you to write hi. You're getting it, aren't you? Okay, up the left side of your box, I want you to write relationship. Relationship. On the left side, running up the side of the box, outside, I want you to write relationship. And in the bottom, across the bottom, underneath the box, I want you to write performance. We're going to talk about relationship and performance today. Now, first thing I wanted to say was, a distortion of who God is stops us from growing. Can you understand that? A distortion of who God is stops us from growing. There are people that really have a sad, sick idea about who God is. And it keeps you from growing closer to Him. And it keeps you from being a blessing to the other people that you could be. Okay, first let's talk about the bottom left box, write in dabbler, D-A-B-B-L-E-R. In the box, inside the bottom left smaller box. You have four boxes inside the bottom left dabbler. Yeah, the dabbler. Okay, we're looking at relationship and performance here. And the dabbler is low relationship, low performance. Low relationship, low performance. I'd say the woman at the well was low relationship, low performance. She didn't know Jesus, and her life stunk. Didn't know Jesus, and her life stunk. The dabbler often plays with religion. You know, they'll show up on Easter, and maybe they'll show up for a Christmas program. They might show up when a friend of theirs passes away or somebody gets married, but that's about the only time they see the inside of a church. They have a low relationship and low performance. They experience little lasting impact or change in their life. They're dabblers. They have low relationship, low performance. Okay, let's. That was the woman at the well. How about to the right? High performance and low relationship. So in the bottom right box, write slave. Because they're really slaves. Paul was a slave. I can't imagine him having a nice day. He got up in the morning and he worked real hard to be the good guy that he knew he should be. But there was really no reason except maybe fear of God. And we're not talking about respect. We're talking about, oh no, what am I going to have to do now to get on the right side of God? I heard a testimony from an old guy that was 80 years old. He'd been a hospital administrator. He'd spent his whole life trying to work his way to heaven. He had done everything he could for his local church. And if there was anything else he could do, he tried to do that too, because he wanted to be on the safe side to make sure he did enough so that God would let him in. He was a slave. Saul, later Paul, was a slave. He had great performance, didn't he? He did everything he was supposed to do, but he didn't have a relationship with Jesus. He had a distortion of who God is. Let's see, the slave focuses on high performance but has low relationship, is determined to obey and do what is right, lives without joy or freedom. is often a curse with which to live. Not only are they miserable, they can make everybody else miserable around them. There's an interesting concept. The further down the performance track people get, the harder it is for them to meet Jesus. Now think of the two, the woman at the well and Paul. Which one did God have to put in the dirt before he woke him up? Paul. Yeah. How about the woman at the well? She was hungering and thirsting for righteousness, wasn't she? The farther down the performance track we get, the harder it is for God to turn us around, because we think we're doing a good job. And we think we're making it happen. We're giving it our best. What could God want now? I'm doing all I can. But they haven't met Jesus. They haven't met the Savior. They don't have the lights turned on. Wow. Okay. Now, let's go up the left side. On the upper left box, put child. Child. Child has a high relationship, but low performance. You see these little babies in their bassinet, and you get in there and you can start making faces at them and going, and they start laughing and waving their hands and having a big old time, and they're just eating that up, aren't they? That's all they can do. That, wave their hands and giggle and mess their pants and eat and sleep and cry. That's what they do. That's the limit. They have a high relationship. They love the daylights out of you. And if they're eight months, they start to cry if you hand them to somebody else, don't they? The 8th month anxiety. But as far as them showing, you know, a few years down the line, they may say, "Mom, I put my toys away." You think, "I've got a genius here." "Well, Mom." And then later on, "Mom, I washed the car." You think, "Oh, I love that. I love that." The child is very responsive and impulsive, is highly emotional and unstable, is not very productive, and has a lot of room to grow. So that's the child. That's high relationship, low performance. Okay, let's look at the upper right-hand box. We've got quite a bit to go in that. Partner, friend, and blessing to the world. Partner, friend, and blessing to the world. Okay, now the problem with performance without obedience is it focuses on ourselves, doesn't it? How am I doing today? Have I done enough today? Have I done enough? Is compelled to do better, because you can never really feel secure if you're a slave. It leads to comparisons. I am doing so much more than other people in this church. I'm the this, and I do that, and I come every so often and do this, and I do that. And I don't know of anybody that's doing as much as I am. It tends to be judgmental. Okay, the problem with just relationship is it emphasizes feelings. Today I may feel close to God, and tomorrow I may not, just depending on how my back is doing, or depending how my job is doing. The problem with relationship focuses on self and is often passing in performance. Passes by performance. But when you've got high relationship and high performance, you have room and a setting to grow. High relationship, high performance. Performance thing we usually think as competing with grace, or don't we? We think, "Oh, I don't want to be like the Pharisees and just perform." But the reality is, And a really wise man once said, no matter how thin the pancake is, it always has two sides. Okay? Relationship and performance are two sides of the same pancake. The relationship side gives the performance meaning. And the performance side is how we show the relationship. I love Bill Cosby, and he once talked about his son who walked in one night and said, Dad, I need a Honda. Well, what do you need a Honda? Well, Bobby's getting a Honda, and Billy's getting a Honda. And of course, in his genius, Dad says, well, you'll have plenty of guys to ride with then. And then he thought, you know, if his kid had come in and said, Dad, I just washed your car, and I cleaned your golf clubs. And Mom comes in and she says, you won't believe the job he did on your golf clubs today. He oiled your leather bag, and he pulled all the clubs out, and they are spotless and gorgeous. And Bill Cosby would have said, I wonder if he needs a Honda. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? Wow. It may be difficult to move a slave to a friend because death and rebirth are necessary. Paul had to be on his back looking up. He had to have a memorial service out there on the road to Damascus, didn't he, before he woke up. The child can grow only when the focus changes, when it changes from me to Jesus. The child starts to change when it goes from me to Jesus. And that's why relationship is so important. But performance or obedience, which is the fruit of love, or growing in grace, as Paul would say. Performance is growing in grace and turning the world into a better place for Jesus. That's what this obedience is. And it shows our heart, doesn't it? It's interesting. Jesus said, you are my friends if you do what I command you. He had both of those right there, didn't he? Friend is the relationship. Do what I command you is the performance. How do we show Jesus we love him? Let's see, John 15:3-13. Now you are clean through the world through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, this is the relationship and the performance. The branch attached to the vine, and the fruit, the performance. Except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, shall bring forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, that's like the Pharisees who wanted to do everything performance. He is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. So we bring glory to God when we live out our relationship with him by being a blessing to others, don't we? As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Okay, there it is. Jesus is saying it again. The relationship and the performance. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love. There's the performance and the relationship. Love one another as I have loved you. And greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So there's the love, and there's the performance. And I love James. I don't know of anybody that clears this up any better than James. James 1:19-27, you must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen. Isn't that good? Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Don't you want that kind of person as a friend? Quick to listen. You want to be someone's good friend? Take time to listen. Slow to speak and slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourself of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But ye be ye doers of the word, not merely hearers who deceive themselves. Okay, doers, that's the partner and the friend and the blessing to the world, isn't it? Not the slave or the child. The slave does what God says, but doesn't have the relationship. And the child wants to have the relationship without being a blessing to others. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror, for they look at themselves and go on going away immediately, forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be a blessing in their doing. Wow, isn't that beautiful? So he hits it right on the head, doesn't he? Now, how do you get to be a blessing to the world and a partner and a friend? First of all, we accept the gift of salvation. And that is the results of the relationship, isn't it? This woman at the well accepted this water of life, didn't she? Said, I'll take some of that. I'll take some of that water so I never have to be thirsty again. That sounds like a good thing to me. But God, Ephesians 2:4-8 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath given us life together with Christ. And then it says, by grace are ye saved. What does that mean? Does that mean we earn it because we're doing good works? No, we are. No matter how many good works you do, that is the results of your relationship, right? It's not to get a relationship, it's the results. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are as good as there. You are as good as there. Yeah, yeah. And Jesus is the friend that you need to get to heavenly places, right? That in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Jesus, throughout eternity, is going to look really good in the universe because of how wonderful he was to you. You know that? The universe is going to hear the best sermon that has ever been preached because you're going to be in heaven. You're going to spend eternity with God, and you're a stinker. You don't deserve to be there. And that's the wonderful thing about the Christian church. We're all stinkers. None of us deserve, we don't deserve to be here today. We are here because we have been given grace by Jesus Christ and accepted by the Father, and we've been adopted into the family. Not by righteous acts that we have done, right? Okay, so we accept the gift of salvation, and that is from this relationship, right? That's because we get to know who Jesus is. We don't do this, we don't accept the gift of salvation because of works or obedience. We are obedient because we have accepted this gift of salvation. Okay, focus on Jesus. Colossians 2:6-7. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abound therein with thanksgiving. So how are we supposed to live? With thanksgiving. Every day should be a Thanksgiving day for God's people, shouldn't it? And this is a result of the relationship, right? I don't focus on Jesus because of my works. My works are the results of my focus on Jesus. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. This is focusing on Jesus, and this is about relationship that produces obedience. Okay, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto who? Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Author? What does the author mean? He got the whole thing started, didn't he? And what does finisher mean? Is he going to dump you and let you finish it? No. He is going to finish it in you because of the relationship, not because of the obedience, which is a result of the relationship. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Jesus endured the cross because he knew that something great was down the road, didn't he? You were down the road. And he was looking forward to spending eternity with you, and that's why he went to the cross. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay, as a result of this relationship, or to generate this relationship, focus on the Word. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God, or God-breathed. You are the results of God-breathed. You have been given the spirit, or the breath of God. You are a body and a spirit, this miracle of the breath of God. And Scripture has been given by the miracle of God, and is profitable for doctrine. And doctrine is important because we need to know the truth, don't we? Doctrine is the truth about who God is. For reproof. Do we sometimes need a kick in the pants? I'm thankful for every spanking my mother gave me. She missed a few, but I'm thanking her for every one she gave me. And she had a butcher knife in her hand one time, and she whacked me on the rear end with the side of the butcher knife. I'm glad it was the side of the butcher knife, but I deserved that. For correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the person of God may be perfect, thoroughly finished unto all good works. Okay, here we're talking about the purpose of Scripture is to help us in our relationship and help us in our performance, isn't it? Okay, and then John 16, 13. Follow the Holy Spirit. Follow the Holy Spirit. How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. How do we get this relationship with Jesus? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, don't we? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Okay, we got a couple more. Next, accept the living presence of Christ. Accept the living presence of Christ. Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. Says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with the might by his Spirit in the inner man. How do we get strengthened? Through the Holy Spirit and the presence of Christ in our life. How do we get strong enough to perform? It's through the relationship, isn't it? The performance is the results of the relationship. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes understanding, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. Okay, that fullness is the behavior, the fullness that comes out in who we are and how we present Jesus through our lives by letting him live in us. Okay, and then last, claim God's power and his promised reality. This morning in our class, we talked about reality. God lets us create our own reality. I can create a reality of misery, or I can create a reality of blessing. I have people that call and they start in on how miserable life is, and they don't let up. They're living in a miserable world. God doesn't want that. But he gives us the freedom to create our own misery or to create our own joy, doesn't he? We can create this environment that we're living in, and we can let Jesus shine through it, or we can drag our burdens around with us all day long and be miserable. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. It's been one of my favorite texts for years. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. A new heart also I will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. So we're having hardening of the arteries, aren't we? We've got a heart that's just about as hard as you can get. It's turning to stone. And God says he will give us a heart transplant. What is your job? Your job is about the relationship. You've got to trust him enough to get up on the table, right? You don't have to go to the hospital. You could run down the street holding your chest and complaining of angina pain. Or you can go in the hospital and get up on the table and let him perform this heart transplant for you, right? And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. That's the obedience, isn't it? But the obedience comes from the relationship, the trust, doesn't it? And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. And that is the results of our relationship. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have also always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do. The will is the results of the relationship, and the do is the results of the relationship. The will and to do of his good pleasure. In Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. So, yeah. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And the last is live to be a blessing. Ephesians 2:20. It's one of my favorite texts. It says, we are his workmanship. God is going to redesign you and me, isn't he? He's going to take the old stony heart out, and he's going to put a new good heart in. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. So when you are in Christ, you are a new person, aren't you? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Wow. So here's the obedience part. And it's the relationship which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are God's workmanship. And this workmanship is the results of this relationship, isn't it? Okay, how do you get this relationship? Well, first you got to want it first, that, right? You got to want it. I think focusing on Jesus You know, Ellen White says if we spend an hour a day focusing on the life of Christ, something good would happen in our life, wouldn't it? I've got this great big Bible, my favorite translation, the Super Giant print translation. And right there in my bedroom, I've got it on this a little divider thingy that we had to make. It sits right up there. And when I walk along, I hear this little voice saying, "Hey, come over here and read something." And I walk over and I read something and I think, wow, is that great? And I get all lit up. We were talking about that. Get in there and you open your Bible and just no time you find something that just turns the lights on. One fellow said, the best way to get lit up about Jesus is to go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and read the last couple or two or three chapters of each one of them, and then start and just continually for about 30 minutes a day, read a chapter and think about that chapter. And take that chapter with you when you go walk or when you're working in the yard or whatever you're doing. Take that chapter with you today and you will lose the old you and you will get the new Jesus inside. Because you are no longer focusing on you. You're focusing on your relationship. And you say, what does that chapter tell me about God? What does that chapter tell me about His Son Jesus? What does this chapter tell me about my relationship with Him? What does this chapter tell me about me? And if you see life, you are creating your own reality. And that new reality is a reality in Jesus, isn't it? It's not a reality that's shaped by my parents. My parents gave me genes, but Jesus can give me grace, can't He? My parents gave me genes, but Jesus gives me grace. Obedience is God recreating His character in me. Isn't that beautiful? Obedience is God recreating His character in me. Is obedience important? Yeah. It shows my love for Him. Does obedience save me? No. No. My relationship with Jesus saves me, right? My accepting His free gift of salvation is what saves me. I'm thankful for the woman at the well who showed us in just a matter of a conversation you can have your whole life turned around and you can in turn be able to influence your whole village for Jesus. And I'm thankful for Paul who shows me that there's hope for the stubborn, bullheaded people who've been trying to work their way to heaven for years and realized, this stinks. This is not working. And that old guy that was 80, that was a hospital administrator, talked about how much fun it is to be saved by grace. How much joy it is to finally, after all these years of trying to work your way to heaven, to find out you were saved by grace. And all of this stuff he's been doing, it wasn't bad. It was useless. God could have gotten along without a treasurer or without a this or that, you know. But now that he's found out, he can do this with joy because he knows he's not working his way to heaven. He knows what's going on is a gift back to God of appreciation for all the joy and beauty and salvation that God has given to him. I'm thankful that you're in church today. We're missing some people, and I think the energy, people in Mount Shasta would say, the energy level is down because we're missing some people, but we're not here for those other people. I'm glad they're out there, and we're going to have prayer for them in a minute, but I'm thankful that you're here. You are as important to God as anybody in the universe, aren't you? And God appreciates you coming to show today that you have a relationship and you appreciate Him and the salvation that His Son Jesus has given you. Would you stand? Oh, I guess we're not having a potluck today. And when are we starting up with lunch? August 9, okay. Well, I'm going to come back anyway. I love the meals here, but I'll be back anyway. Anyway, would you stand and can I have prayer for you now? Gracious Father, thank you for these pictures of people that you have changed. You brought salvation to this woman at the well who was in trouble and knew it, who was seeking for this water of life. You brought salvation to Paul, who you finally had to put on the road and looking up and in the dust and the dirt, and he realized he was thirsty, realized he'd been wasting his time. What he thought was good works was really working against you. And we're thankful for the blessing that these two became. And we realize that they're good works, that the wonderful things that they did were results of their relationship with Jesus. Lord, I pray that you will bless each person here, that we can develop this relationship with Jesus as we open our Bibles, as we put our nose in the Word and walk around during the day thinking about you and not just ourselves, that we can ponder the life of Christ and get to know him better. And Jesus says, if you know me, you've seen the Father. We can know about you by looking at your Son. Thank you so much for the Holy Spirit who's touched each heart here today. And we pray that you will continue to bless us as we seek to serve you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.